This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Folks, we're live here at the Democratic National Convention 2024 and have our brother here with us, Mandela Barnes.
Oh, man.
What's up, man?
Good to see you, man. I'm blessed. Good to see you, too. Thank you for stopping me.
This is an historic occasion, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. It is. And we weren't expecting it. That's the other part about it. We don't usually get a lot of good surprises.
Right. That's true. That's true.
You know, this is a new one for us.
So tell us your capacity. Are you a delegate or?
No, I'm actually not a delegate. So I, in Wisconsin, I'm leading a group called Power to the Polls Wisconsin. We are focused on civic engagement, not just voter turnout. We're talking about year-round engagement. We're talking to people not just right before an election. We want to make sure folks know what's at stake. We want to make sure people know the issues. We also want to make sure people know what their elected officials are doing after they get into office. And so this is an effort primarily focused on Black, brown, and working class voters. In the city of Milwaukee, we have a large Black voting bloc that needs to be engaged. And you saw last cycle in 22, a pretty significant decline in Black voter participation since 2018. I dealt with that myself.
Yeah.
And, you know,
your race was in 22.
My race was in 22.
That's right.
And so I had a couple options. I could sit and complain about it. Could be mad, go take my ball and go home. But I decided to stay in the game, get involved, engage, and try to change this.
Good.
To make sure that we are doing the work. Because when Black participation is low, I will say that the end result is benefit to the Black community because people end up being in office who don't serve Black interests. And so making sure that we have an informed electorate so people aren't saying, oh, well, you know, this hasn't been happening, that hasn't been happening. What's the point of me voting? We want to make sure people do know the reason to vote and the things that have been happening there. And if things haven't been going right, how to organize to change that.
So when you ran, was that unanticipated? Was it shocking to you all that the Black voter participation was going to go down or that it went
down? So, you work for, you know, to drive up the turnout, right? Like we had to organize it happening. We spent money. We showed up, right? Like I'm a product of the city. I was born in Milwaukee.
Of course,
I'm a product of Milwaukee public schools.
Yeah, right.
This is my community. So, you know, of course there's like a little bit of frustration there, but like, again, I can't be mad at somebody because they decided not to vote. You got to look inward. And that's what people refuse to do so often is to look inward and think about, what could I have done differently? How could I have fixed this? How could I have better prepared for this moment? And that is a part of my journey right now is trying to solve this problem so that we don't have these super close elections re-lose by just a little bit because people felt like they didn't have a reason to show up to vote.
I agree. We can't get mad about it, but something's up.
Something's always up.
We've been riding these Ubers.
Yeah.
Talking to young sisters and brothers.
That's one of the best organizing tools.
But listening. I'm not into voting. I don't have time.
Yep.
Something we got to do something about that because people aren't even saying as much anymore.
Yep.
What difference it even makes for them to vote?
Right.
You know. And I'm here in Illinois now, and I'm hearing that here. Now I may go other places, may not hear that as much, but we got to help folks understand why it's important to be interested. So I said to a sister yesterday she has three small children.
Okay.
I don't really vote. She said last time she voted for Obama. And so, sister, let me just make a suggestion. I need you to vote in November so you can tell your kids that you voted for the first Black male president and you also voted for the first Black woman president. And when I said that to her, she was like, oh, yeah, that's probably right. I mean, that's just because I didn't have a whole lot of time.
Right.
I didn't get nowhere out of policy.
Yeah.
But I was like, you need to be able to do that. I think I kind of won her over with that.
I hope you did.
That's the other thing. Mandela, folks, everybody I've talked to, they'll watch the news. A lot of folks aren't even watching the news.
They're getting their information from some unreliable sources.
That's right.
Unreliable
sources.
That's right.
So this is a somewhat of a more monumental task than I think we realize. Because I think a lot of times we go into it and say, well, this is going to affect you and this is going to affect you. Before you can get to that, you have to give people, to see why it's important just to follow what's going on, at least, so you can be self-informed about what's going on. But I mean, how do we deal with that?
It takes a whole lot, man. It takes showing up to places, or one, figuring out where people are getting their information from. Because and there are some nefarious actors also.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
You know, there are some people out there who just could not be concerned or are concerned with money more than anything else. And so their information that they're providing to people is going to be completely harmful to them because they're serving their own self-interest and only their self-interest. So with that being said, it's not like we have to reinvent the wheel. I got my start in organizing 2008, 16 years later, doing the same exact thing. And so being able to knock on somebody's door, being able to not just do that part, but to meet somebody where they are. You know, people talk about this barbershop strategy and whether it's played out or not. I think it's important for people to show, but it's how you show up at that barbershop.
Yeah, yeah.
If you just show in there, going there for the photo op saying, hey, yeah, we're supporting Black businesses, that's not going to get it done.
Yeah.
If you are there, a part of the conversation, have people who can be a part of the conversation, that's what helps. But also being able to back it up with facts. And elected leaders, once they get into office, have a responsibility to be more responsive. And sometimes we have folks that just aren't really that responsive, and it makes people lose trust and faith in government.
What do you say when the sisters and brothers say to you, well, they're not doing anything for me anyway. Politicians aren't doing anything.
So,
what do you
say? Yeah, what my Congresswoman Gwen Moore says is that for people that say they don't do politics, she tells them, well, politics will do you.
That's right. That's real. No, that's real talk. And that's what happens. So help us understand. I mean, I think we do, but I want to hear from your mouth, because Mandela's there in Wisconsin. That's a state that we have to win.
We got to win.
And it sounds like you're suggesting we can infer if Black turnout in what is supposed to be in Wisconsin, we don't win that state.
We don't win the state if Black turnout isn't where it should be.
And is that turnout in Wisconsin, I don't know all the demographics of the state, that turnout is primarily in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But how far outside of Milwaukee is that too? How big is Black vote?
So there's a growing population in Green Bay. In Racine, there's a population. Kenosha, a little bit of Madison as well. Beloit, that's primarily where it's concentrated now. There's Somali population in northwestern Wisconsin.
Is that right?
As well, yep.
Okay. And they vote?
Yeah.
So now, is you doing what you're doing, is the party and other resources making the investment in Wisconsin that needs to be made?
Yeah, so we are seeing investment. So my organization I lead is called Power to the Polls Wisconsin. We are scaling up the largest Black, brown, working class voter outreach program ever in the state. We are well on our way to doing that. And one thing I'll say about the strength of that program, again, is the trusted messengers, the organizers that come directly from the community where they're knocking on the doors. And I'm proud of that work because it hasn't been done that way. And if it doesn't happen, we don't win.
It's kind of, I mean, you kind of picking up what Stacey did.
Right? She had a good model.
Yeah,
real solid model.
I mean, folks work. Don't win something, they can't. Don't mean they can't still work. Folks still need to do this work.
It's worth replicating. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's important. Well, brother, good luck on that.
Thank you.
How can people find out more about Power to the Polls Wisconsin? Get involved.
You can go to powertothepolls.org. And that's going to be the easiest way. But Power to the Polls Wisconsin.
How's it feel to be here this week, Wes? We nominate a sister.
Hey, man, it feels great. Like I said, big surprise for us all. And we don't get a whole lot of good surprises these days.
What about Black women in Wisconsin? As you engage them, are they excited?
They are very excited.
Yeah.
They are very excited, ready to roll. It feels their time, and they're not wrong.
White women are important. Roe is on the ballot. Now, you all have Roe on the ballot in Wisconsin.
Well, we don't have it on the ballot because we don't have binding referenda, so we don't have ballot measures in Wisconsin.
What's up with that?
You know, it's an interesting state. It's an interesting state. I love it to death. Like, you know, a lot of intricacies.
Okay. You a Green Bay fan, too?
Of course I'm a Green Bay fan.
All right. I know that's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, Simone wore Green Bay to the Bears.
I saw.
What's up with that? Is she a Green Bay fan?
Because she know what time it is. Her husband played for the Packers before he played for the Bears.
All right, so she's still there.
She's still got the shirt.
That's what I'm saying. Mentally, she's still there.
She's a winner.
We're proud of this brother and what he represented. You know, sometimes we don't realize some losses are still wins. To have a Black man run for Senate in Wisconsin, that's never happened.
Right.
So that's significant. And the brother can do it again. And if not, he's building the foundation, y'all, for others to be able to do that. You know, everything is changing. All the demographics are changing. Mm-hmm. Kamala, you know, Trump is tripping, but Kamala looks like what America looks like.
Exactly.
You know, in a minute, people like us, we, you know, we regular brothers, folks are more diverse than us now. There's just, you know, all kind of different things. And that's beautiful. That's all right. That means folks getting together, doing what they got to do. So, from all stripes. So we're not knocking that. But, no, I'm very proud of you, brother, and what you represented. And, you know, we should have done even more to get you up because it was close.
It was 1 point.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we got to. And we also, and the last thing I'm going to say is when it comes to the politics, the thing we're most passionate about a lot of times is the police.
Yeah.
Police, y'all, are governed locally. They're not governed on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's no federal police oversight.
Yeah.
So if you don't vote, at least locally, you can't change the police.
Exactly.
And that means you might have to vote out some black folk on city councils who not willing to help reform the police. Mm-hmm. That's how you get involved. We're not going to just march and tweet away police violence. We got to vote, get people in, change that. And we might just have to get back down to the local level so people can appreciate, because I know you deal with local elections too, sure. Down ballot so people can appreciate how important these local races
are. And that's a part of our organizing work, making sure people know who does what.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Della Bonds.
Hey, my man. Good to see you, man.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you for having me doing, man.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Folks, of course, we could not be here. In fact, let's think, this is probably third or fourth convention where we talk to each other. We talk all the time, but now we can say we've been at several conventions together.
2016.
That's right. Going back to 2016, he is now the special assistant to the president for intergovernmental relations. I hear that right?
Yeah, basically. I'm here in my personal capacity, though.
I know. I just want to say the title.
Yeah. Senior advisor to the president. And
Senior advisor to the president.
Director of the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs.
So everyone can be clear, you know, people work for the staff, can do everything. So he is here in his personal capacity. And in that personal capacity, how are you feeling about this extraordinary and unexpected?
I've never seen anything like the last 4+ weeks. It's I keep looking for a historical moment of comparison. Dr. Chavis, you have a far deeper reservoir of historical knowledge.
I was at 68, and there's been a projection. At this time, like that, Democratic Party has gone through tremendous transformations. The future of our nation is at stake. Future democracy is at stake. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, this is one of the most important elections in our lifetime. This is the championship round.
Yeah. All right.
But gentlemen, we've said that several times over the past few years.
Not all times.
We have said it before.
Right.
I would argue that when we said it, it was accurate. But the way that Dr. Chavis has framed it is correct. Because in 2016, I saw a number of focus groups afterward and various demographic groups that had voted for Donald Trump. The majority had voted for Donald Trump. And we get asked questions like, are you concerned he's going to do away with a woman's right to choose? And their answer, by and large, was, he's about a bastard, but he's not really going to do that.
Right.
And this time around, you take him at his word. When he says, I want to be a dictator on day one, take him at his word. Mm-hmm. When he says, you're never going to have to vote again, those two go hand in hand. When he said, I'm going to do away with Roe v. Wade, he did away with Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
When he says, when you look at Project 2025, I mean, that is just taking us back centuries. And that's why I agree with Dr. Chavis. This really is an inflection point. And the reason I come with optimism, to get back to your first question, is I have not seen these levels of energy. And I think they are a perfect pair, the vice president and Tim Walz. Because, you know, when we talk about diversity and inclusion, it's a broadly defined term. It is about making sure that people of color have a seat at the table. It's also about making sure that our LGBTQI friends have a seat at the table. It's about making sure that rural America isn't forgotten.
Right.
You know, it's about making sure that our union members understand that, you know, you brought us the middle class, and you brought us the meat guns, and you're going to have a seat at the table. And that's why I am optimistic. And there, by some of our better angels. I mean, I'm a big believer that leaders are supposed to bring out the best in people, not pit one against another. And you know, Barack Obama was about hope. Joe Biden is the most optimistic person I've met, perhaps in my lifetime. And he's a person who has endured unspeakable tragedy at a personal level in his lifetime. And what I love about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz is that they understand that this election isn't about them. When President Biden stepped aside, he understood that, and he said, this is about you, it's not about me. And if I have become a distraction, then I need to move out of the way. And could you imagine, you know, Donald Trump saying, well, you know, look for a guy need to move aside. They're talking about how we can help you, the American people. How can we help you, regardless of where your zip code is, regardless of whom you may live, regardless of whom you worship, regardless of whether you were born here or born somewhere else. This is the American fabric, and we want to bring everyone together. I think that's a really optimistic message, but it's also a fundamentally American message. That's what Dr. King was talking about when
you know,
he was preaching, and that's really who we are. And I'm sick and tired of people pitting groups against each other. And you know, if you blow out your neighbor's candle, you know, that'll make your candle shine any brighter. Now, that's what my faith teaches me. That's what my parents taught me. And I really think that's what the Democratic Party has taught me.
Yeah. No, this has been an incredible experience. Are you liberty to say a little bit more about the legacy of Joe Biden? What he did do was quite historic. As a matter of fact, we were just joking with Congressman Ivey and others, and we've been talking about this. You saw Patrick Mahomes behind the back pass?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what Biden did when he embarrassed the Kamala.
Yeah, I mean, the moments of gravest crisis, if you look back, let's just look back, the last, 125 years or so. The moments of gravest crisis have been the moments of greatest opportunity. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds contradictory, but let's just take two decades.
Mm-hmm.
The 30s and the 60s. You know, I had the privilege, as you know, because we talked all the time, of enforcing civil rights laws at the Justice Department, the first term of Obama, and then enforcing labor laws, second term. Now, and this is a slight overstatement, so I know listeners will call me that, and I already concede there's a slight overstatement. But by and large, though, as we enforced the Civil Rights Division, we were a product of the 60s, you know, the Civil Rights Act, the 64, the Voting Rights Act, the housing, nine bills or so after Dr. King. And the laws we enforced at the Labor Department, were, by the way, don't forget Medicare and Medicaid in the 60s, which are civil rights laws.
Right.
And, you know, you look at the Labor Department, and, you know, the laws that we enforced there were, by and large, again, slight overstatement, you know, the Fair Labor Standards Act, minimum wage, and occupational safety and health, Social Security. You know, the 30s and the 60s, I would argue, were the two most tumultuous decades of the 20th century, and they were the two decades where we made the most transformational change. And Joe Biden, I know that was a long-winded answer to your question, but Joe Biden is going to go down in history in a similar vein, because we have done more stuff, big things, infrastructure, you know, climate change, you know, putting people back to work, healthcare, insourcing. I mean, he's done more in 3.5 years than people do in a lifetime. We don't have infrastructure week like Trump talked about. We've got infrastructure decades to come because, frankly, we've just begun those investments. So history is going to look very kindly on Joe Biden because he got stuff done for people.
That's right.
And he's still getting stuff done.
And he's still getting stuff
done. He's got some houses with us. From Russia.
No, right.
I just want to say we're all looking forward to this speech tonight. Because I don't think it's going to be a farewell speech. I think it's going to be a speech about his engagement and support of the vice president.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's important that the current president of the United States has said to America, Kamala Harris,
yeah,
the person that you go back to the White House.
Yeah.
And so to me, President Biden put nation first.
Yeah.
Well, he has us a first.
Well, he's been making history for a while here. You know, who he put on the Supreme Court.
That's right.
You know, and he's going to make a little more history here.
That's right. No, this is important. Some of our friends are saying, which some of us are still a little too euphoric about this, and we got to be with James Carville in particular. We, you know, this is great, but we're too euphoric. We got to come back to reality. This is still going to be a tough fight. What are your thoughts, Tom, about the fight we're in? It looks like the numbers are looking better. I'm talking about the math. It looks a little better. I think we're in pretty good shape. Every day we get new numbers that show there's a significant shift. And not only that, people may not have believed it. There was a segment of the population, a large segment, said we didn't want two elderly people. Now overnight, and Trump played on it, now overnight, he's become the elderly person, and everybody shifted to Kamala, which proves maybe they meant what they said, that, you know, folks didn't want, they wanted something newer and fresher. But how you feeling confident about the numbers?
This is going to be a close election. So, I mean, we have to understand, this is a divided nation right now, and we need uniters. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are uniters. One of the many things they have going for them is that what the Biden-Harris administration has accomplished is precedent setting, as we just discussed. So they don't have to run away from it. But the investments in climate change, that's what young people want.
Right.
You know, protecting the freedom of women to make choices about their own body, protecting IVF. I mean, my three kids, my wife and I have three kids, they're all IVF kids. They'd be like, we wanted to bring people in the room. That's pretty plain age. And they're going to do away with IVF. They want to do away with, you know, some basic fundamental freedoms that we take for granted. And so, you know, I do want to caution people,
you know,
the election is still, you know, a ways away. We got momentum, though. I mean, I coached sports for 15 years, and momentum is a key to success.
Right.
And we have undeniable momentum because we've got the better candidates. We've got a record of accomplishment, and elections are about the future. And the future is about making sure that everybody, urban, rural, suburban,
no,
white, non-white, and U.S.-born immigrants,
you know, everybody
has a seat at the American table. And I think people are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
And people need Jewish.
Yeah,
people moved me. I'm, you know, 1963, I was a team for one. People were moving forward. 1963. 1964, we did the civil rights movement.
That's right.
1965, we did the voting.
That's right.
1968, we did the
voting. Kept on going.
So, to me, yes, we can't take everything for granted. But to me, West first reverence of people assuming civic responsibility once a day. I think that's something to rejoice for.
Yeah.
But that we, I think it's going to carry out this convention. We'll put on more amendments, right? My blue red momentum is going to continue to go with more gravel. And really, I'm thinking now, even after the election, we got to make sure we keep our canoes and blades up and down the path. You know, we got to change the state legislature. We got to make sure we control the Senate. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure we have the first black guy speak over House.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
There's a lot
more history to make.
There's a lot more history to make. But I just want to ask Tom, it's very important. You know, my wife was Dominican. I'm always concerned about the black and Latino core issue. I think it's key, not only Texas, but I think it's key in our mother. Yeah. Can you share how you think Latino and Latin are coming out to vote?
That's a great question. I was in the Dominican Republic last week, right at the swearing in, and the recently reelected president, Abinader. I think what I love about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz is they understand how to build coalitions and the importance of coalition building. And I've done a lot of work. You know, Mark and I, most of our conversations are about civil rights and labor.
Right.
And, we understand, and I think the American people at a very basic level understand that when we are working together, Trump wants to pit.
He's right.
By the way, there's nothing subtle. Like, the immigrants are coming and they're taking your job. He wants to pit immigrants against white folks. He wants to pit immigrants against black folk and Native American. And we're not allowing that to happen. I mean, we won in 2020. You look at states like Wisconsin, okay, where did very, very well with the black vote in Wisconsin. And there were about 100,000 Latinos who voted in Wisconsin. We won 75% of that vote. That's a 50,000 vote margin.
Mm-hmm.
What did we win Wisconsin by? 20,000 votes. Every single member of the coalition, and that's why they're actively talking to communities of color, whether it's the black community in Wisconsin, the Latino community, OPI community, the Hmong community in central Wisconsin is a sizable community. They're now solidly Democratic.
Right.
I was just with them recently, and they sacrificed so much. The folks who understand the history of the Hmong community and coming to the United States, they were protecting us at their peril in the Vietnam War, and many lost their lives, and they came to their adopted country, and they have become politically active. I bring this up because their listeners, when we build coalitions, that's what Dr. King was about. It wasn't just about organizing black and brown voters, but it was about organizing sanitation workers.
The law of community was inclusive.
Absolutely.
It was not inclusive.
Yeah, and so,
that's
what we have to understand the divide and conquer strategy of the other side, because they do want you to think that we'll get ahead only at the expense of someone else.
That's right.
That's not who we are.
That's right. I know you got to go.
Yeah.
But I do just put this out there, and I want to be very careful not to cross the line in terms of rules. But are you concerned, and are your rules beginning to turn as some others are, in terms of, you mentioned this being close, there's speculation that they're going to try to put a little fast one in a couple of states with some electors, try to get this into the Supreme Court, we're on the floor of the House. I mean, it's minds like yours that are probably going to be called upon to help.
Absolutely have to be prepared for that, because they haven't been settled. They haven't conceded the election 4 years ago. He's already laying a foundation. Joe Biden got dethroned, and that's somehow illegitimate. And so this election isn't illegitimate. I mean, he can never acknowledge defeat.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. And that's why folks need to get out there and vote and make sure you get your neighbor who's eligible to vote and neighbor's neighbor. Because one of the best ways to put an end or to begin the process of putting an end to Trumpism is to win and win.
That's right.
As heavily as possible.
Tom Brewer is here in his personal capacity, but longtime servant in the civil rights community. In the labor community, both within government and outside of government as well. And he is a treasure and a very important soldier on the battlefield for us all. And he mentioned we talked about civil rights and liberal rights. Like, we also talked about baseball, too. So that's our passion. Even though he's a real Sox man, I'm
amazing. This is a very demonstration
that we're coming together.
Well, we can come together.
Diversity, beloved community.
Every fan and a Red Sox fan can have a genuine affection for each other. And we can do any darn thing in this country.
Anything is possible. Love you, man. Thanks for coming to see us as always. You have a great week, man. And congratulations.
Thank you, Doctor. Always an honor to see you. Thank you for all you've done throughout your life.
Thank you.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.